Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. 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 God is good. How many of us know and believe that God is really, really happy? Wow, he's never grumpy. He's always cheerful. He really is. That's my dad. How about yours? What a good dad. We're so blessed. We're so, so blessed. Wow. Peter says, okay, yeah, wow. Oh, I want to read you while you're standing so you can cheer with me. This is so fun. We're going to put some pictures up real quickly there from India. I want you to see this before we release the kiddos. It says, thank you very much for your kind heart and your help to take the children to the trade fair. Now hang on just a second before you flip through these, because I want to read this, okay? Trade fair, I don't know what that is. It has something to do with trade, but there's a fair, and the kids wanted to go in our children's home, in Frontline Ministries International Children's Home in Rajahmundry. So we wired money to them so they could go and just have fun. You know, not for school supplies, not for their food and clothing and all that kind of stuff, which we do as well, but just have a good time. And this was some kind of really cool carnival, I guess, for them. Listen to this. I don't know, Tom, if you're going to really like this with the food they ate, but, you know, really they enjoyed a lot, and we can't describe the excitement and the joy that they had in their world, in their words. Thank you very much for bringing such joy to them. All the children convey their heartfelt thanks to you for giving them such happiness. They took a lot of rides. They ate some snacks and ice cream, and they bought toys from the trade fair with the money that you've sent them. I'm sending you pictures of the trade fair. Hope you like them. God bless you abundantly. That's for you in Jesus' name. God bless you for contributing and blessing our kids. So let's go through these. You can see there's just I just got these last night. They're really fun. Those are frontline kiddos in India. They're being trained up. We're trusting in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Come on, look what they're dressed on. This is their Indian garb at Cedar Point. Indian Cedar Point. Keep moving. You can keep going through those. Yeah. Isn't that fun? That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Aw. all of these are the kids that you all sponsor. So see your little child in there. Keep moving on that. There you go. There's Daywin Suni eating Lord knows what. I'm sure it's not green. Having a good time. Look at that. Isn't that so fun? Amen. Amen. Is that the last one? Yeah. On the roller coaster ride. Oh, that just makes me so happy. I love it. Wow. I don't know. We'll have to find out what that is. I don't have an answer. Can we just give up praise for the Lord and say thank you? Isn't that fun? It's kind of like the Indian version of paintballing, you know? Some of you know what that means. Amen. Praise God. Well, children, released to kingdom land. Amen. Have a good thing. God is so good. Ah, so, so good. What a great morning. Thank you, Lord. I believe the Lord wants to unlock some really fun things for us today. Ah. And we want to be part of that, that's for sure. I'm going to go up in the front so we can kind of see each other. I'm excited. We've got some great things coming up. Excuse me. In about a week and a little bit more than a week and a half, we have Relentless Pursuit. Things are flying. You know how things seem to come together at the last minute when you're planning a birthday party or something? That's how it feels right now. We're in that momentum of, whoa, hold on. Great things are happening. And we've been praying for and believing for revival and for what God wants to do in this region around the world. And I'm excited about it. I believe that he has something very, very special in store for us. And that's all of us. And it's to go to our homes and businesses and in the highways and byways and everything, out in the streets. I'm just expecting a big wave of God's glory. How about you? Are you? That's great. I'm hearing from more people than even before, maybe because it's the second one. And there's a pattern, a history, and it was all good last year, I'm trusting. At least it was for me, if it was for you, that people are excited about this. They're spreading the word. They're telling people that they know, you need to come, you need to come, you need to come. So I'm really happy about that. Oh, great things are happening. We're incorporating also one of our wonderful spiritual sons, Josh Jacquet, and he'll be involved in one of the sessions on kingdom worship, which is really cool, leading that and some other things. So with all of you backing up us as we're going to be participating in it, and with all the worship people, all the things that they have to do, and everybody who has a part to play in making it come to pass and making it work, thank you, thank you, thank you right now in advance, how God wants to do that for you. And I'm just really, really happy and really excited about it. So how many of you have ever seen this before? Does anybody know what this is? Okay. For those who aren't here and going to be listening here, they're going to see what's called a capilano, which is something that we ladies wear when we go into Mozambique. I just want to wipe these glasses off. And this one I've had since 2003. It's been in more places than I can even imagine. You can even imagine. And it's something that we wrap around and we wear in over our jeans or whatever. It's just to be respectful of the people in Mozambique. So it's part of the traditional garb, if you will. But it's multi-purposed. There are many things you can do with this. You can wave it in the wind. You can celebrate God with it. You can wrap yourself up in a van when it's really cold. Take it off of where you have your jeans on and such. And just wrap yourself up. If it's raining, you can put it over your head. And just hopefully it won't drip through. There's a lot of different uses for this. You can snuggle up with it when you're cold in a sleeping bag in a tent. And so this is very multi-purposed. But there is one thing probably you don't know about this that it has been used for. And it really tied in with the message this morning because the Lord gave me an actual title, which I usually don't get anything like that. This is kind of cool. But he said, stay in the safe place of mercy and grace. Stay in the safe place of mercy and grace. And he just threw that out to me. I heard that. It's like, wow, that's so cool. And then he gave me a picture of this. And I think Darlene knows where it's going with this. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's first the natural, then the spiritual. But I'm just going to try to delicately share a little bit about this story to kind of lead into where we're going. I had an experience with Darlene, and it was quite humorous, actually, in one of the villages. And for those of you who've been overseas with us in Mozambique, you know that we many times don't have the comfortable facilities to go to the bathroom and things like that. So you just kind of do what you can do, and wherever you can do that, in a very good place. And so Lena and I are walking to somewhere to find some place that's delicate. And so this wonderful spiritual daughter of mine loves me so much, and I know it, and I can feel it. She wanted to help me with that and protect me. So sure enough, I believe it was this one, I'm assuming, took this off with, of course, now, let's not go there and imagine things, okay? But use this as a shield, as a guard, and that's what was so beautiful about this. Use this as a shield and a guard. So she's got this around me, like this, to the side, so that I'm in a safe place, and then she sees people coming down the road. And so here I am in a little bit of an uncompromised position, and she says to me these words, not very mousy at all, like, oh, would you please stay where you are? She says, stay where you are. I didn't move at all. But it was strong, and it was loving. It was very kind. But I thought, stay in the place, stay in the safe place of mercy and grace, okay? Don't get up, don't move, don't do anything, just stay where you are. So I don't know if we had this or not, but this is what came to me in the picture anyway. So it was the idea that I'm trying to convey to you. So, but because she wanted to see that I was covered, that I was cared for, that I wouldn't be in a situation that would bring harm to me, be it embarrassment, shame, or maybe to them, I don't know. She was mindful of what would be best for me. And I really appreciated that. I always have. It's been kind of our little joke some of you might know about, but it's always been endearing to my heart because I could feel the love from that gentle but yet strong command, stay where you are. And we've laughed about it ever since. And I didn't move, let me tell you, because she was caring for me. And love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says. And what she was doing was expressing love. I was not sinning in that situation, but I'm saying that the picture of it just flashed in my mind of this protection and this cover that God wants to give us. And so as I was thinking about this, laughing in my office, sitting in my chair, just laughing, going, oh, I remember that. Oh my gosh, Lord, what in the world does that have anything to do with anything? And he says, well, you know, you're hidden under the shadow of my wings. Oh, and you always cry out to me, oh, Lord, Psalm 91, protect me. Oh, Lord. And he goes, I am. I will. Yes. Just pay attention. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Don't do what you're not supposed to be doing. And it's very loving. It's very kind. And that's just the grace and the mercy of our Papa. And so when Jesus was sent to us to die on the cross for our sin, and our sickness, and then be raised from the dead. Oh my goodness. That was because of the mercy of God to take care of us, because he knew that the enemy had a really big intent to keep us in an uncompromising position that happened after Adam and Eve, and worse, destroy us. And so he said, I love them too much. I can't have that. I've got to do something about it. So he sent our Jesus. And that's mercy, the mercy of God, that we receive what we don't deserve. And Jesus received what he didn't deserve. And there's a great exchange that takes place. We don't deserve to have the mercy and the grace of God given to us freely like that. There's always something that has to happen. There are laws in the kingdom, laws in the world. We all know that the law of gravity says what goes up must come down. And there are other laws of physics. For every action, there's a equal and opposite reaction. I believe that's it, unless I misspoke that. You can correct me if I didn't get that right. Is that good? Okay, so there are certain laws that are immutable laws that just happen, that just occur. And God says, I want you to understand that they operate whether you are ignorant of them, whether you know them, whether you like them. None of that matters. They operate. If you don't like the fact that what comes up must come down, you don't like that, oh well. It's going into, you know, unless we're flying in a supernatural zone where the Lord says, well, I'm going to have you fly over this, you know, and we want to live above it that way. But any other type of activity that we would take or have in our own life, whether it's attitudes, actions, emotions, or anything like that, they will fall into or through or pass by, if you will, or be measured in relation to these laws. There are spiritual laws, there are physical laws, but the spiritual laws that God gives us are not in violation to physical laws. And so God wants us to understand them. And so that's part of his safety and that's part of his protection. Sometimes we might feel or have a sense that, oh my gosh, if I hear that or if I read that, then I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Instead of saying, oh God, my goodness, you love me, you protect me, you put a capelana around me because you want me to be okay. Because you know that there's something that can happen to me. You're not mad at me saying, you're not worshiping me enough. Bah. No, he's saying there are things that are in motion that you either unknowingly can be part and parcel of setting into motion yourself, or someone has been used to help that happen in your heart, maybe when you're younger, and you don't really realize it. You know, how many of us know that when Jesus died on the cross for us and we said, yes, Jesus, I just give myself to you, that he also says, you see yourself as one who was crucified with me and understand what that means. And then apply that to your life and you will have greater freedom. It's like, oh, okay. So he gives us keys and tips, not because he's mad, but because he's happy. And he says, if you knew what I did for you more and more, my goodness, you would run to that safe place, not in fear of the evil one, but in rejoicing that my daddy's a big daddy and he's done these things for me. And he has a way of knowing these things beforehand. And so our posture of our heart can be, let me read the Bible and find out what you're saying about what could affect me and my household and my ministry, my, you know, whatever our world would be. So it's with that in mind that I'm encouraging all of us to think about these things and to consider to the next few verses that we're going to go over, what that might mean for each one of us and for our lives, so that we can be encouraged and strengthened and have all the freedom. So here's an example. If we're singing, "Oh Lord, I love your freedom. Free me, Lord." And he goes, "Okay." But there's something happening over here with the law that's already been set in motion and you're really not fully aware of it. Would you like to be? "Oh yes, I would." "Well, it's in the Bible." "I know. I don't know what it is." So we could have something operating against us and not even know it, and the Lord will put us in a place where we have the opportunity to know it. For example, he'll say, "Read your Bible every day." Okay. And if it doesn't click on the inside, then you might listen to a tape or a CD, or someone else might say something to you, or you might come to church on Sunday, or whatever. Read the blog, Pastor Bill's blog. Yeah. You know, but that's the heart that God wants us to acquire more and more. You know, and anytime we have a fear operating in us or around us or through us or against us, however you want to say it, anything that would be approaching us, that is the very last thing that the enemy would want any of us to be real privy to. Like, aha. So it's really, you know, a help that way. And that's how I look at the Word of God, and that's what's brought joy into my heart. So with that in mind, I want to show you a couple of verses, or share a couple of verses. The first three, Amber, that I asked you to put up there if you could. Okay. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Okay. "The love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good." In other words, stay where you are, because we're in that place of safety that Jesus gives us. "Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle." Okay, so God wants us to be in that place where we can say, "You're God, I'm not." And that's going to put things in order for me, and I can flow in the order that you have, for sure. But isn't that good? Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. And so on Friday night, we had this Watch of the Lord, which was really amazing. And one verse that popped out from my heart, and you can put the next version of that up, Amber, okay? Thank you. Same one. No, back up, hon, if you would. It's 9 through 13, but it's a different version, I think. Or 9 through 12, sorry. Okay, amplified. "Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil, so loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness." I mean, that sounds really strong. Those are some of the passages we probably don't stand up here and sing and go, "I love you, Jesus. Hate what is evil." You know, it's like, what does that mean? But it's true. I mean, it's in the Word, and God is saying, hate anything that he's telling us is not him, period. We have to hate it with a passion. So it's like this, not the person, but the thought, activity, power, presence, feeling, or whatever. But if we're not filled with the love of the Father on the inside, then we start taking that as a mantle. Ha! Well, you know, I start pointing fingers and things like that. Not a good thing. So hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that is good. Okay, I think the other one too, please. "Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal, and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer." In other words, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. So it tells us all that, and we have these standards, and you may think, "Well, I already know that. I don't want evil. I don't want darkness. I don't want anything." Amen. I think we're all in agreement. But then the Lord takes us into another place. He says, "Let me take it a little bit deeper for you so you can be aware that you wouldn't be sabotaged in any way." For example, I used to walk home from school when I was a little girl back in a suburb of Chicago, there was this one way, this one path that we could take that people would... You know, I was kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, and you know, little kids liked to come, and some of them, and see if they could get strong and tough with me. And I remember going, oh, I can't wait to get home. And I remember this one guy who was a bully is coming to my mind. And I don't know where he is now, but I will just say his first name was Vincent because I remember him. I have forgiven him. But I will tell you that he came to my house once, and he did try to get physical with me, as little kids do, as a little girl, you know. Not in a sexual way, just in a mean way. That's mean too. And so he came to my house, and I remember being on my driveway, out in my driveway, and I thought, this is fun. I thought, just try to mess with me. Just try it. I will blast you. I mean, that's how I felt. I felt so empowered. I felt so strengthened. I felt so encouraged. I stood up to him, and he was bigger than me, and I looked at him, and I don't know what I said, but he backed off. He just backed off because I knew my dad was backing me up. And my mom. Isn't that cool? I have this vivid picture of that. It's like, okay, I felt a little shaky out in the schoolyard and coming home, but he didn't mess with me after that because I stood in this authority that I had leaning on my dad and my mom, you know, that had a really good childhood. And that's what he wants us to do. And that's how we can abhor evil and cling to what is good in every part of our life. Even though the boy was just a person, I was responding as a little child to him as my foe. But as an adult now, I would look back and say, wow, how sad for him. He was really off base. Too bad for him. I hope he's found Jesus, you know, because that's the heart, because you can see beyond that. So for us to abhor or hate evil and cling to what is good, God wants us to actually see the person, but be wiser than what is coming from that person so you know what to do with it. Okay, next one, please. New American Standard, love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. And that sounds really good. Oh, thank you. It sounds really good, which it is. Did you have the last part up? But the first part... Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Amber. Back it up to where you were, sweetie. Thank you. Let love be without hypocrisy is really hard because sometimes we don't know what that means and we skip over that and we go to the rest because it's a little bit more clearer to us. But God is saying love without hypocrisy and then hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And then goes on to say, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It's like, all right, we're so devoted to one another that we're going to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to see what you're saying, see what you're doing. I may not understand it. It may make sense to my rational thinking, but it may not be exactly what's going on. I really need to seek you, and I really need to partner with you, and I really need to understand what you're saying and what you're doing, because what I see here is just telling me something that might not be. So it's just really, you know, it's a hard place to be sometimes. But anyway, I was sharing just a tiny bit of this, not any of the examples I've just shared with you, but a little bit about abhorring evil and clinging to good at the all-nighter on Friday night. And where's Andy? Are you here? Can you come up for a sec? Andy, was just so funny on Friday night, a good funny. And I was sharing this, and where's Jordan? Jordan here? Come here, Jordan. These two guys had a couple of, it doesn't have to be long, just a couple of experiences that kind of tie in with where we went with prayer for our hearts to be prepared for some things. And I just wanted them to share it because I think it ties in with this regarding just a sweet, sweet release, like this over the body who is here. And there was a shift in the spirit. You share a little bit?
Yeah, there was just a time where we, you know, went into, Pastor Ray Pat shared a word that just led us into a place of repentance in our own hearts of just different things that really strongly positioned us to be into a place where we could really release effectual change in the spirit for situations that we were praying for. And a little bit of this was right before we were praying for, you know, the United States government. And one of the things that she had mentioned is that just as we stand in faith to see kids rescued out of the sex trade, literally as we're standing here praying, that in the same way we can literally stand in faith and believe for leaders in Washington and different people to be freed from some of very similar things. And it was really amazing to see just how that spirit of repentance released a power in the atmosphere. And then sometime later, I was in the back, and we were moving into praying over finances, and we had a decree sheet of different verses. And one of the verses that was highlighted to me, and I was yawning, and Carly, I don't think she's in here, and she goes, "Andy has a word to share." And I'm like, I was just yawning, opening up to receive from the Spirit and refreshing my body. And I'm like, I got nothing. You know, I'm like, sure, why not? So, you know, I get up to the front. But I had prayed over one of the people in our group. I believe it was Psalm 34:7 or Psalm 37:4, which is, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. And it just struck me. Like, I've read that so many times, and I think all of us have, and we've skipped to the end, which is the desires of our heart. The Lord will give us the desires of our heart. Well, we missed the beginning part, which is delight yourself. And it just hit me. Like, I have the ability to delight myself. I delight. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. And it was like, wait. The Lord delights in me, but I can go to him and delight in him. And what's it is, if I'm delighting in him, he's going to be the desire of my heart, because there's nothing better than him. I mean, it's just like this cycle. It's just going to continue. I'm going to be like delighting myself in him. He's going to be filling me up with more. And of course, he's going to give me the desire of my heart, because the desire of my heart is him. It's just this awesome like circle, and the picture I had was just this laid out sweet smorgasbord table of food, and you can just go and you can eat it, and it just reappears, and it just reappears, and you're like, man, that's so good, I want that. I just want more of that. And I'm the one, it's my responsibility to delight myself in the Lord. I have the ability from him to do that, and then there isn't anybody else. So
are you saying that was a new revelation for you? And why do you think that came at that point?
I think that came because of the spirit of repentance that was released earlier, that would positioned us to be in a place of receiving, because we weren't caught up and weighed down with anything that we were carrying moments before. It positioned us to be able to revelation. That repentance did, that spirit of repentance. It's the position to receive.
Thanks, Andy. And Andy's been walking with the Lord a long time. So the spirit of repentance, as Tom had mentioned last week as well, and that release came, it was a release of grace just flowing and covering over him. When that came, when he was sharing a testimony, you can listen to last week's message if you want, that was intended to bring Tom into greater revelation for something else, which was, oh my gosh, many, many different things, and I'm sure that continued on this week. So Jordan, you had a similar thing?
Yeah, there's a lot to share about Friday, but in the area of repentance, I think that was earlier on in the night. I think that was the catalyst for a lot of stuff to occur later on. And I just remember, you know, as we were praying against a lot of the moves of the enemy, you know, as far as sexual trade and a lot of, you know, these terrible things, I began to realize that there were areas of my life in the last week, you know, even the same day, perhaps, that I wasn't committing, you know, such grievous acts, but I was still partnering with the enemy in like minor ways. But it comes from the same spirit of the enemy. And I just felt so convicted, because I felt like, you know, even though every day Jesus, you know, washes our sins and whatnot, there were areas of my life, you know, that I was just neglecting, you know, just the little stuff. And I wasn't paying attention, you know, and I wasn't repenting for those little, you know, negative comments or, you know, just agreeing, you know, partnering with the enemy. And I became so convicted, because when you're partnering with the enemy, there's no degree. I mean, you might not be out there, you know, enslaving children, but if you're, you know, coming to words of negativity, you're still partnering with the enemy. And I just became so convicted, and I actually, the whole night, I was just energized, like not tired at all. But as I began to realize this, I just became so in a place of laying down and repentance, and I began to weep and just cry out to God, take this from me. This is not from you, and this is, you know, open my eyes to this, you know, not just in moments of revelation and moments when we're here worshiping you, but in when I go back home and, you know, and living with, you know, four other guys And just take that from me, because I felt like there's areas, the corners of my heart were being built up just with, like, just gunk, you know, just little amounts, but, you know, nonetheless, being gunk and just being desensitized by just the glory of God. And so as I cried out to God, he just put me in this deep rest, and I actually fell asleep, and it was a supernatural rest. So it was just a peacefulness, and it was just resting in a place of security. And I just felt him telling me, "It's okay. I take that from you. I'm right here with you. I'm filling you up." And I felt like as he removed that, just as I said, like the rust, the tarnish, the gunk from my heart, just completely removed it. It allowed him to fill me up even more with his presence. And so as I woke up, I just had this new sense, this new vigor, this just restoration, and it came from that place of repentance.
And the Lord gave you increased revelation then after that?
Yes.
Yes. Can he share the trumpet image? Okay. Sure, there's a trumpet image. All right, for those of you who are going to listen to this, there's this big 5 foot, 4.5 foot, 5 foot trumpet, and Jordan has something to say about it.
Yeah. One of the topics on Friday night was just about revival. And it, of course, it's a course that we started in Frontline in the training center, and met on Thursday. We were praying, and I just felt like God was highlighting this trumpet, and I was just looking at it, and I was like, wow, yeah, that's a pretty interesting thing. And I felt like he was telling us that when you look at this trumpet, you can see there's a long line of it just starts from the beginning, you know, from a small place, and it keeps growing. It keeps growing, and then it just expands greatly. And I felt like he was saying that here in this region, in this ministry, in Frontline, that this is kind of representing us. And it came from a place of a small place, but it's been growing. It's been growing, and it's been great. And God's been just, you know, with us, walking us along the course of this trumpet. But I felt like he was saying, I'm putting you on the cusp of this horn right here. And right here you can see where it really begins. Like right here, there's a lot of great things, and it just explodes. It explodes in a new direction, in every direction. And I just felt like he was saying, like, I'm going to have you guys blow the trumpet of victory. Like, you're going to be calling on a new day of expansion, of revelation, of revival. And so as we stand here, he's just saying, blow the horn, you know, blow the horn of revival. And so I feel like we're really in that season, and there's just been growth, and there's been a lineage. And that's what he was highlighting to me too. This isn't a little horn. I mean, this comes from a long way. Yeah, we stand on the cloud of witnesses, and there's a lot of historical, you know, significance within Frontline, and it's just been growing.
And for those who can't see this, it's about, wouldn't you say 4 feet, Jordan?
Yeah.
Skinny, long, and then this big bow at the end. So we'll blow it after a little bit. So thank you guys for sharing that. And the reason that it was important for them to share this, I believe, is that the Lord is mixing things together for us to see. He's just peeling back layers on our sight, our spiritual sight. He's saying, I want you to see what I'm doing. I want you to see more who I am, because I love you. I want to protect you. I want to keep you in the safe place. So if you abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, you can't lose. Things will increase, because the laws of increase that are in motion from before the foundations of the world, God says, they're for you, one way or the other. Their laws of increase individually can affect us in a way that brings or releases pain and lack in our life, or the laws of increase can be released to give us or help us enjoy the abundance of what Jesus has done. It's one or the other. That's why it sounds so extreme when you read a verse like that that says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, hold fast. You see? Anyway, so that was a good example, I think, for all of us to be just even considering. If we can put up the next verse, which I believe is the Hosea verse, 8:4-6. You can put that one up, please. New American Standard, NASB, says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. That sounds kind of mean, but it's really the Lord saying, he's not mean. He's just saying that when we put the Lord in a place where we don't have the spiritual understanding and knowledge, you know, God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants, but he does tell us that his laws work whether we're ignorant or not. And he doesn't want destruction for any of us. He doesn't want something to come to us that is going to destroy or kill or steal in any way. That's not what he wants. He wants something that will come and release goodness and a harvest of blessing. That's his heart. So all through Proverbs, if you read Proverbs, you're going to see a lot of extremes. Like, oh, this is good. Oh, this is not. It's the Lord saying, I am good. The enemy is not. I am good. Stay over here. Cling to me. And then let me show you where there may have been a lack of understanding or knowledge, which is what ignorance is. You didn't know this, but the enemy's stealing your lunch. You didn't know this, but you're giving him a key to your house. You didn't know this, but you're giving him a legal right to bust you and your family and your ministry and your business and all of that. You didn't know this, but this is in operation against you. But the devil doesn't play fair. I am good. He is not. And I am merciful. But he loves to take advantage of what you claim as being justice or being right. And God is very, very clear about that, because he tells us in Scripture that mercy triumphs over justice or judgment. Mercy is higher. We are saved because of his mercy. We are redeemed because of his mercy. We're brought into his courtroom and his courts with thanksgiving and praise because of mercy. We get to have him living on the inside because of mercy. So because of all these things, and we could go on for the next 1,000 years about the mercies of God, he says, my mercy always is higher than that, than justice or judgment. Because I am the God who will mete out justice, not you. It's like, whoa. So we have to understand what that means in a practical way. Practical. When we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, when we study law, and we have several lawyers in our midst, and we know that God is really, really clear. So how do you take the law of the land and minister mercy? You need the grace of God. You need to know how to wield through that so that you're actually on the side of the Lord. And he understands what that is. So that's a whole nother discussion, but it's a real good one, because mercy triumphs over judgment, even if we don't understand it, even if we don't agree with it. It still is true, because God doesn't lie. So we have to understand it. And if we explain that away, and it's not with the revelation from heaven, we can actually fall into this. My people will perish because of lack of spiritual understanding and knowledge. And that's what we don't want. So that's why we try to study these things and, you know, not point fingers at someone who might have an understanding of it, let's say, and then says, no, it's God is revealing such and such. And let's say we don't have a revelation of that. God says, I will give you a revelation of that. Andy and Jordan are good examples. But it came through a release where they presented themselves to the Lord in a way. And then God did it. They didn't get that revelation on their own. The spirit of revelation was released in tandem with the spirit of repentance. And God wants us to, he wants to see happen everything that Jordan was talking about with the trumpet. He wants to see that. So last time I was preaching, it was about the revival fire and sharing with you how, you know, the Lord almost had this book fall out in my lap, but he led me to get this book and he said, hey, revival is on your doorstep. And I opened it up. It was a book I had never read. And there was Meltari Indonesian Revival. It's like, come on. I mean, my eyes first seeing that. So, you know, I just want to be primed for what that is and not be in a presumptuous place where, okay, it's all about revival, but I don't get the rest of this, or I'm not stepping into the rest of this. The Lord says, I don't want anyone to be left out. I want everyone to be in the receiving mode of my abundance. And that's his heart. And that just excites me. It really does. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that might be helpful, that have blessed me, that might be a good thing for you to look at, because the Lord does give us some of these places where the mercy of God rests and gives us safety from the assaults of the enemy. His grace is the foundation of goodness that covers us, sets us on high, hidden under the shadow of his wings. This is a place where the enemy cannot steal, kill, and destroy. And so, you know, when pain comes to a person, the Lord's intent is to heal, release pain from people. He didn't create you to carry pain. He died a horrible death and raised from the dead so that the pain can be released. So that's one of the good blessings of his mercy. And he says, so I want you to understand how that came and what I want to do with it. It's kind of simple. He says, I came. All the pain that we go through and that we suffer, he said, has taken root inside of Jesus. And he said, he became sin. He became as us for us. He didn't just have things nailed to him like we sometimes think, okay, nail it to my wrist. No, he became the very issues that hurt our hearts. He became all of that. Can you imagine? So there's this law that says, cling to what is good, abhor what is evil. Jesus became evil in the sense that as a man here. And so there was that separation for a time that just actually killed the heart of the Father and Jesus because of these laws that are part of the Father's heart. They're in motion. And so he had to push him back. Can you imagine? And so Jesus was the object of wrath. Come on. Because of the nature of the goodness of God. But he knew that there would be a restoration for that, which is why Jesus rose from the dead and that there was that union again. But it was the most painful thing that our Father in heaven ever could understand and have. That we can't even imagine what that was like. And the same for Jesus. And that was the horror. But for the joy set before Jesus, he endured that. He endured the cross. And he says, you know, you're my joy. And what I'm releasing to you is my joy. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I'm going to endure the cross for you. But what I'm saying to you is I would like you to die and stay dead and understand what that looks like. Because if there is any part of you that's not dead, then that gives the enemy that right to come and poke a hole. For example, if I had this capilano wrapped around me and it's, or, you know, used as a little gated shield, what if it was filled with about 10 holes, big holes? It would not have been very effective, right? And so the Lord says, I want to take care of that. And the pain in our life actually leaves us in a place where the enemy says, aha, I see where that is. I was part and parcel. I was responsible for that ultimately. Not people. People are just vessels. But I was responsible for that little pain becoming a very big pain. And I certainly don't want it uncovered. I don't want it unmasked. Because the more I can encourage you to react to the pain that came as a result of an offense against you in some way or something that absolutely you took part in after that, if I can leave that hidden, then you'll never know the true freedom of the cross. You can sing about it, you can dance about it, but let me show you how you get rid of it because that's my way and that's what I want to do. And so sometimes there might be an understanding of there's pain that's existing, but that doesn't do any good unless something happens to that pain. And God gives us the laws for that to occur. That things are put in motion. And we don't want to participate with anything that will prolong pain, increase pain in any way. For example, if Darlene was looking at me and saying, well, there she goes again. She got herself in that compromising position because she just runs and goes for it and says, here I am and this is it. And that's, you know, if she didn't do that, if we would have taken more time, maybe we could have gone down a different alley and there would have been more trees and not too many people would have been around. And she would have decided in her mind that that was something that could have been a better thought. She didn't do that. And I know that. It was, I am going to take care of her because I know her heart and I love her and I trust her. Imperfect as she is, but I'm going to cover her. And love covers a multitude of sins. I wasn't sinning, but the idea was that there could have been a judgment made about that very thing in her mind or in her heart. And I don't believe that happened. And if it was, she might shake her head and go, no. But the thing that she would be wise to do would be to wonder, ask herself later, why would I think that way? Why would I think that way? I love this person. Well, they have a history or a pattern, you know, of jumping out in front of a bus and hoping someone saves them or whatever. You know, not that I would do that, but there could be something that could come. You see, judgments are really, really things that God says, I want to take that from you, because in my laws, that if I find that you are doing something that I'm not doing, then it invokes another hole to be put in your covering. And it invokes more pain and hurt to come, so I need to show you what that looks like. And so if we're open and honest before the Lord, then we can do that without feeling as though I'm not doing it right. I always feel like I'm doing it wrong. Whereas God says, I am your protector. I just want to give you more revelation. I want to shore up these holes so there's nothing that can be seen through. Isn't that a good God? I just love that about him. So if there's something that is troubling our hearts, he wants us to get to the root of what that would be without spending our time doing that, a lot of time, keeping our eyes fixed on him and saying, Lord, I praise you, but show me. I so want to understand this for me, that I'm going to take it so seriously and allow you to have and do some work in me that's going to be really freeing. And you could see from the testimonies, listen to the testimonies today, how beautiful it was. So let's put a few more verses up. These are just some things to consider. And we have what's called Freedom House here, which incorporates, we have the healing rooms for physical healing, and sometimes physical healing is related to emotional needs and spiritual needs and such. But we also have what's called Freedom House, where Freedom Class that we offer to everybody in Frontline comes from. Oof. And just want to let you know that will be offered in January again, we're trusting. And everybody is invited to take that. And these are some of the things you might hear about. But I want to take it a little bit deeper here because we're on the cusp of this revival anointing, and want to just offer some things for you to think about in your own prayer time with the Lord that have blessed me over the years. And, you know, I'm still learning those as well, so I thought it might be helpful. But let me just give you a couple things. Deuteronomy 5:16. Yeah, New American Standard says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord gives you. Okay, this is a law of the Lord, and it's for every human being. These are laws for every person. This is the book of God, if you will, is for everybody, and especially when it comes to the laws. And there are certain things that apply specifically to the Christian who has the knowledge of God on the inside and the Spirit of God. But some of these are just out there that, you know, blessing, rain falls on the just and the unjust. And so God is saying these are immutable laws. These are laws of God. And wherever we have not necessarily honored our parents, even from the early days when we were small, we were young, we may have had a measure of, wow, Lord, I just really, you know, I did this and this and this, and my parents tried. I'm sorry. But then there might not be this feeling of affection that grows out of that. You're kind of wondering why. It's like, why don't I feel closer to my mom or my dad? I said I was sorry. I prayed that prayer at Frontline, and I still have this disconnect. What could it be? And God wants us to get to why that is. The enemy says, well, that's because you're a bad person, and that's because you don't do it right, and that's because, and that's because, and that's because. And there might be other things in motion that God wants to release so that we can get to the freedom that he wants for us. But it does say that if we do honor and respect in the way that he says, that good things are going to happen. Days will be prolonged. Things will go well with us. And many times the very things that we might have hurt from, or that we don't like, and we just judge the way that they did something, the way that they handled something, we make some kind of inner statement, or maybe even an agreement with, oh, I can't believe it. They're always yelling at me. They're always doing this. They're always doing that. I don't feel significant. And many times when we say those things or think those things, it's because we might have a little wound in our heart, or a big wound in our heart as a little kid. And that's our response. That's all we know to do many times, unless we're taught differently as a little child. Hopefully our little children in Frontline are being taught different than that. And so God helps us realize when we're older that some of those judgments that may have taken place towards our parents, even though we said we forgave them, can actually remain inside of the heart, you know, saying, well, they're good. They tried. They did all that they could do. But sometimes as a little child, we don't realize that we may have sown something into the spirit realm, even as a young one, that was going to increase if we didn't take care of it and actually come back upon us later. It's like, wow, can that happen? Yeah. Is that fair? No. in the terms of we live in a fallen world. But God says, I always give you a way of escape. So let me show you what that could be so you can take care of it. And let me just sweep over you as you run to the cross and say, I don't want it. I hate it. I abhor it. Because anything that's not from you is evil. I'm not evil, but that thing that came against me and my response to that, which is why the pain might still be there when we think about it, that pain is still there, that thing might be operating against you. And that can actually hinder you and I, any of us, any humans, from receiving the good things that God has. So these are just safeguards for us as we're moving towards this revival power and fire in a greater way for us to really take seriously and go to the Lord. So that's a verse to think about. Okay, another one would be Galatians 6:7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this also he will reap. This is for every person. This is for every age. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Okay, little children can actually separate themselves from something that's kingdom because that's their response to pain. And something can be set in motion that if not curbed, if not stopped, can actually hurt them later in life, can bring destruction. Can we put another verse up here for Galatians? The Message. Now look at the wording on this, guys. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Okay? Think of the words, misled, don't be deceived. Sometimes we get a little bit, that can't happen to me. It can. So he's warning us in a good way, in a loving way, don't be misled by your feelings, by your emotions, by what somebody else says. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds, and he'll have to show for his life, all he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. I mean, I don't know if Dylan's in here or not, but I know he came to mind when I was thinking about this verse, and you can put up the other Galatians verse. And I was thinking about when Dylan would speak to any of us about money or finances, one of his favorite topics. He would talk about sowing a seed, and that seed is intended by God to grow into a mighty harvest, multiplication, right? That's the law of God, the seed of end time harvest. And God is saying, when you sow into my kingdom, you sow by out of your finances, out of your heart of love, but especially, let's say, finances. Many times we just limit this verse to that. But God says the converse is true as well. If we sow something that God deems as being not truthful, negative, offensive, whatever you want to call it, hurtful, judgment, pain, anything that doesn't match up with heaven, give it your own name, it has to increase. It increases in frequency and intensity because it's the law of increase in the kingdom that doesn't stop. Because we don't want it, we don't like it. It doesn't stop. We have to deal with that. At whatever, wherever there's been an increase or wherever it even came in, we need to say, wow, something happened there and I didn't realize that it's still a little in my heart. And sometimes I might react. It might be an anger or something like that. It's like, well, why do I continue to do that? Well, I'm in the flesh. But if you have recurring patterns, God says it certainly would be the flesh, but it might be something that's still there that's given you a swift kick. And then there's this unseen force that might feel as though it can rise against you and kind of push you that way. And you think, gosh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why? I really love Jesus. I'm really in the glory. I'm a worshiper. You know what I'm saying? We all do that. It's like, well, Lord, what the heck? That sounds like a big problem. It can be if we are blind to it. But if we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices, then we're going to say, all right, God, just show me. I'm going to go about my day and I'm going to listen because you're going to show me because you're good. If there's something I need to see, that I'm going to allow you to come in and just rip it out. And then I'm going to run to the cross and say, bam, bam, bam. I am co-crucified with Christ. Okay? So that's, that's an ongoing process in life for freedom, because the spirit of repentance will come upon us to clean us out, but it will grow and grow and grow. And he'll keep coming and coming and coming. So it's a good thing. Okay, here's another verse. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked. It's like, well, that's not me. But if we ignore his law that's already in motion, that's how it comes across in the spirit. You see, God's not thinking that you're knowingly or I'm knowingly going, take that, God. No, but in the spirit, it's the enemy who's watching you and I to see how we respond or react. He's watching. He's saying, give me a legal right. Give me a legal right. Give me a legal right. I want the keys to their house. That's what he's doing. And it was so funny. I was just thinking about that. And one of the things that started off our mission in Mozambique this summer is that, I don't know if you ever watched Gilligan's Island or reruns or anything like that before, some of you guys, I don't know. But anyway, this song about, called The 3-Hour Tour, you know, was the theme song for that. And so I was teaching the team and having Bible study, inductive Bible study, about the tricks of the enemy, okay? So our focus is on Jesus, so you're not kind of caught with your pants down, so to speak. It's caught, exposed, seriously. And so here's how the enemy operates. We didn't go into all this detail, but here's how the enemy operates. Let's just be aware while we worship and praise and keep our eyes on Jesus so that if something started to rise, we could say, oh, no, that's not you. And I believe there was a lot of freedom that people experienced as a result of that. And the presence came, the power came, the glory came so freely. Okay? And that's why you heard unity, 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 unity. One of the reasons. Okay? So God will not be mocked. Scorned, disdained, mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. What? In other words, if we ignore this law, especially now that you've seen it up here, you know, God is saying, you open the door. You know, he doesn't want to do that. So whatever a man sows, that and only is what he will reap. So we have to understand we're sowing love and kindness. We can do that with our neighbors, our coworkers, and whatever. But then have this thing going on over here that's reaping a negative harvest against us, and then we go up and down and up and down and up and down with our emotions and not realize it. It's like, ah, this is a key for freedom. Isn't that good? Okay, so it's just thinking about that one. Matthew 12, 1 and 2. Put that one up if you would. Therefore, whoop, Matthew 12, Matthew. Did you do Matthew? He's on there somewhere. I know he is. Well, Galatians is good. We'll take that. Okay, I've been crucified. Galatians 2:20. We'll get to Matthew. But Galatians 2:20 is a lifeline. It needs to be a lifeline for us. Because if we hang on to this, no matter what we're understanding or not understanding, we're going to be soaring, okay? If we say, Lord, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah who lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to, and reliance on, and complete trust in. Let me say that again. That's a mouthful. By adherence to, reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So anytime the Lord reminds us of something, gently, as Andy and Jordan said, we run to the cross and go, boom, boom, wait a minute, I'm co-crucified with you. Kill that thing. But Andy and Jordan would be very wise to take their lives and go back to the very beginning and say, so was there something that had sprung up in me that I didn't see? You see? It's good. It's a good thing to do. It's like, whoa, I didn't know. I didn't realize. I didn't know it was there. If you think about this, I was thinking about this the other day, Secretariat, how many of you watched that movie? Secretariat, this racehorse that won the Triple Crown many years ago and sired many, many other horses after that. None to the greatness, really, of Secretariat to our knowledge as of today. But when Secretariat was trying to run the race as this wonderful, wonderful horse that would just defy anything prior to historical evidence of a horse winning all kinds of races, and even to this day, the horse had a problem in his tooth, and they didn't recognize that at first. There was this infection in the tooth. So even like a pain that we could have from our childhood or from our older than childhood or something like that, that doesn't go away. We just keep thinking about it. It's like, oh, I forgave my parent, I forgave my uncle, I forgave my aunt or whatever. But sometimes when I think about it, it's just so hard, it's so painful. Okay, but I know I'm forgiven or I have forgiven them. But something could still be lurking. And the same thing with Secretariat. And when that bad tooth was attended to, with all the love and nurturing for that horse just shot out of the gate and won another great race. And God wants us to be aware of that. Isn't that good? So Matthew 12, 1 and 2. Oh, okay, that's good. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry. That is not the one I wanted. Look at your disciples. No, sorry, let's do Galatians. Let's do that. We already did. Wait a minute. It's Matthew 12, 1 and 2. Is that the one I gave you? Is that what you have? Okay, let me see that one again. Okay. Okay. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And it was interesting because Jesus did not receive or entertain judgment at all. That was basically the law of the Pharisees. He didn't do that. He said to us, he said, "I didn't come to abolish the law." In other words, it's still in place. What are you going to do with it? I've come to fulfill the law. Okay? It's not that we can't evaluate something, but the Lord knows exactly what the condition of our heart is. And the condition of that heart can reap something very negative and not even know it. Sometimes even our silence, when the Lord says, "Don't judge, judge not lest you be judged," he is saying to us, if you judge, that same judgment will be meted out to you, but in greater measure. It's like, oh, I need to know what you think judgment is. And Jesus always said that to his disciples, to the Pharisees. And he said, "I came to fulfill the law, and so this is something that can hurt you." He didn't just get mad and say, "You brood of vipers." He said, "You brood of vipers," but he was speaking to the enemy behind them. He loved the Pharisees. He said, "If you want to stay in the law, that's just not really smart, because it's going to cause you a whole lot of pain. If you want to enter into mercy and grace, you'll be okay, and you might even be able to see me. In fact, I'll help you see me." He's so loving and kind that way. So he's telling us there's something behind that, that many times we're kidded or deluded, or we miss it because we just don't know. We don't think about it. And God says, "I will show you if you'll go to me on your face. I will show you what that really looks like, what judgment really looks like." And so if don't spend your time arguing with me about whether it's judgment or not. If it comes up in your heart, many times it is. And I need to show you what that is, because it will work against you. And don't want to see that. Okay, let's look at Hosea 8:7. Hosea 8:7 says, "For they sow the wind, but they reap the whirlwind." Okay, this can be something that we need to look at. When you sow into the wind and you reap something bigger, a whirlwind, the standing grain has no heads, it yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up. The Lord wants us to know that there are tornado and gale-like forces that we might not see that can rise up and come against us if we have an occupation place, or even if we're going to have a greater occupation place, or we have a place that it could affect us in some way. And these unconscious things, we can't see them, or they're subconscious, or they're in the dark, they're hidden. Forces that can come against us, these things actually can rise up and push us in such a way that we feel just the opposite of compelled by love. Heidi Baker talks about being compelled by love. The enemy says, "Well, let me show you what compelling looks like. And I'm going to push against you." And that pushing can influence in a forceful way that we find ourselves. It can influence our attitudes, our actions, our thoughts, our emotions, our opinions, and even our perceptions. So we can look at something, and if we've got something in motion that we didn't even realize, it was something in the invisible realm that was pushing at us, we can actually end up partnering with something that is not exactly how God would see it. And that's a scary thing. So that's why we have to put all of these laws in motion in the right way inside of us, and then kill anything that God would say falls into the realm of the second heaven, which would be unforgiveness, which would be bitterness, which would be judgment, which would be unbelief, things like that. Because if something springs up, if it springs up on the inside, it's meant to hurt you very much and the people around you. So let's take a look at Hebrews. Let's put the Hebrews verse up there. Okay. See to it that no one comes short of the grace. Now here's the grace. Just imagine grace being poured out like this. A pitcher of grace poured out over us, the grace of God that saved us. And that as we stay in that place of complete surrender more and more, that grace just continues to fill us and flow over us. Stay in the place of grace. Stay in the safe place of mercy and grace. The name of the message, stay in the safe place of mercy and grace, where we can't be harmed or harm others unknowingly sometimes. So see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. Now this is really important, because what happens is, especially when we're small, if something occurs in our life where we don't know what else to do, we're just trying to deal with life, you know, and we're supposed to trust our moms, our dads, our significant people in our life, and then sometimes there can be a place where it's just a wound or a hurt, and it might be legitimate, or it might not be legitimate. Let's suppose that there are legitimate things like bam, bam, bam that keep coming. Whoa. And there can be this pain that actually is seen in the heavenlies as something that God wants to take care of at some point, hopefully when you're a child, but for most of us, probably not. But at least as an adult, let me take care of it. Let me pull that pain out so it's not operating against you. But what happens is this. Let's suppose, let me give you a scenario. Let's suppose you have a parent that did something against you, and you know that it's really bad, it's really wrong, but it really hurts, and you don't want to judge them because, you know, you want to honor them, but it really hurts, hurts your heart. Do you know that unknowingly that judgment can actually take place in your heart because you're just mad, like, I hate you. Not that a kid says that and you have to go, oh my gosh, I got a bitter root judgment. But sometimes if that would continue inside of a child, it's that reaction to the offense that a parent or a loved one or someone might have done. And then let's suppose you have enough of those and they're not taken out, they're not taken care of, but you go to Sunday school and you say, you know, I love my mommy and my daddy and they're really good, and then I seem like one happy camper. But yet this other thing might be growing up on the inside, and the thought that you could possibly have anything against the people who love you the most and give you birthday parties and everything else is just like, no, it couldn't possibly be. That couldn't be. I love my mom and my dad. Well, of course you do, for many. Well, I want to honor them and do the right thing and all that. Of course. But it doesn't mean there might not be something that's springing up later. And God wants to take care of that and just take the hatchet and bring it down. And he does that through repentance. And he pulls the pain out also. But what we have to repent of is how we reacted. I was like, yeah, but that's not fair. How else is a kid supposed to react? I didn't say the enemy's fair. You see? And this is where we come in and say, your mercy, your grace, let's pull this up, let's pull this out, so that if there is any little judgment in a child's heart, that we can help them deal with that, not just forgiving mommy and daddy, if there is something to be forgiven, but also if there's that inside, we want to take that and explain to our children or our older children here that go to the cross, give that to the Lord at the cross in a way that is a little bit deeper than just saying, I forgive, because that's what a good Christian does. Because the feeling of pain, or even this lack of being wanting to be around somebody, or the lack of affection you feel, that can come from this, a bitter root judgment that's been growing. And it's just similar to, you guys have seen plants in a field where the plants are underground, and all of a sudden there's this big crop that springs up. It's like, how did that happen? And the root was underneath the ground, but then there was this springing up at a certain point. And you think, that was amazing. It wasn't there yesterday, but seemingly overnight it sprung up. It's like, ha, this verse is real. This verse is true. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. That means tell each other, tell your friends, coworkers or whatever, in a good way. But first yourself, think about this. Go to the Lord and ask him to show you how this works. And it causes trouble, and it can then spill on to others. So let's just say that judgment is one of the things that started when you were very small. If something like that happened, you didn't even recognize it as that. But you're a good Christian. You go to the nations. You do all the things, whether you go to the nations or not. You do the good Christian things, okay, and you love Jesus. I don't believe there's anybody in here that doesn't love Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the door, the side door, where the enemy is permitted to steal, kill, and destroy. And God says, I want to come in and show you how that works so that you can do something about it, because I gave you the tools, I gave you the freedom, I gave you the mercy, I gave you the grace to do it. Hey, and it comes from me, and you can. So let's suppose that we have an issue or a problem sometimes. We fall into negativity or gossiping or complaining or judging or something like that. And we've had a pattern in our life where we say, I just don't want to be like that, Lord. And we feel bad. It's like, why is that there? It can actually be something that's been springing up, springing up, springing up. And if it's not axed at the original place of entrance, it might have the right to continue to spring up and then defile people. And here's the trick of the enemy. He will look for people who have similar roots and try to hook them together, because that's where he's empowered. That's what it is. And that's underneath, but it's something God says, I want you to see. Oh my, isn't this good? And God says, let's take a look at that so that we can run away and say, God, I'm asking you to cleanse me from something I didn't even know possibly could be there. And then use this as a process in our life. So I think, is that the last one I gave you, sweetie, to put up? Romans 2:1. I think we had that one. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practices the same things. This is another law where, as we do end up judging other people, we can actually bring the very judgment on ourselves. In other words, if we judge someone of something, you think about that, that the law at work here says that God will mete out exactly what we're judging against us, and then we grow in the defilement. And if it stemmed from, let's say, dishonoring a parent with a judgment when we were small, if that would be the case, you got all these laws working against you, not even knowing it, even when you're out praising the Lord. It's intended by the enemy to keep us from the fullness of being, of feeling as though we're co-crucified with Christ. Even though we say it, it's true, but receiving it means, all right, you're going to show me, Lord, and bam, it's hatchet time, and I'm going to rise. And he will. I mean, you'll be standing in front of the mirror, and he'll drop a picture in your heart. He'll drop a feeling in your mind, a thought in your mind. He'll do it. And then you just run to the Lord and say, God, I see it. Oh, I sever it in Jesus' name. No more. You don't have to go through 3 years of counseling, okay? You can go, and if he shows you something, you might need some help from someone. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it might not be this long, long process that you think. Because what does the enemy want to do? He wants to take any hurt or any wound, whether it's real or whether it's perceived, okay? And he wants to bring them up and then bring you together with yourself and maybe others to be able to say, this is the justification. This is going to bring justice. This is going to bring it to the surface, rather than mercy triumphs over judgment. The enemy's so tricky, and he uses good people, loving people. And I think before we go into relentless pursuit, we want to think about these things for ourselves, because we will receive more, I believe it, and be able to release more. So I believe we're at a very, very good place. I'm excited. Are you? Does this help a little bit? Just some things to take to the Lord. I do this. Pastor Bill and I do this sometimes together, other times alone, and just saying, God, show me. And he will. And he does. And he's so good. Because he doesn't want anything to afflict or affect us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them of them all. And do you know that some of our wounds and hurts and offenses can actually be perceived? That doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt or it doesn't feel wrong, but it can actually be perceived as an injustice against us. And it can start from something so small that either happened in our childhood that grew and became a mindset or a pattern. And God says, you know what? There may be things where you'd think, I can't even imagine what did I say or what did I do? But someone is just totally torqued off about it. And God says, wait a minute here. Rather than judge that person back, let's see whether there's a real injustice against someone or there's a perceived injustice. But either way, it's painful. Either way, there's pain. And God says, I want you to have compassion on those who might bark at you or might whatever. Think of your last family gathering, okay? Think of that. And look at, you know, don't analyze a person, but look at yourself and say, he will give you the eyes to see what might be at work here. But be careful lest you judge, because it'll come back on you. And that's what you don't want, because it'll spring up because there's a power that's strong and it's Gale-like. And I believe that's the last one. Did I give you any others? Any other verse? I don't think so. On that one thing, Galatians 2:20 we read. There's one thing about 1 Corinthians 7:14 I want to put up here, and that is this. When you're married, and some of you are married, not all of you, but you can think about this. Now hang on and catch this, okay? That if you when you're so close in a marriage, if you are dealing with some things, or you don't even know you're dealing with some things, do you know that you can become like your spouse? Pastor Bill and I lovingly guard our own hearts, not from each other, but with each other. In other words, any blessing that comes from him, I want. Any blessing that comes from me, he wants. But we have to be wise that even in our discussions, because of the power of the tongue, in our discussions, everything that is spoken out comes out of the abundance of the heart. Everything, because that's what God says. So therefore, even though we're close, and it might be pillow talk, you hear me? If it's not, if it doesn't flow in the category of heavenly, this is what Jesus would be saying right now in the way that you're saying it, that can't happen just because of the closeness. Because what happens is, if I would just say, yeah, that's right, or he says, yeah, that's right, we can both enter into a place of judgment and not realize it unless we have this inner working, this knowledge. So we guard that for each other. And he might say, whoa, or I might say, whoa, so that there isn't an agreement that takes place between us. Do you see that? So think about that. And if you have someone who doesn't whoa with you, then you just have to woe on your own and just not agree. Okay? Sometimes when we're very silent, listening to someone else's stuff, do you know that if we listen and we don't counter it with something, if we don't counter it, do you know that we can be found in the courtroom where the enemy can hit us guilty of agreement? That's a scary thing. And what the enemy will intend to do is take advantage of a possible root in you. Where, oh, I never thought about that before. Well, I've really been thinking about that, but now this really makes sense to me. We have to guard ourselves from that as well. It's just safe. It's wise because of these spiritual principles. And we want the fullness of, again, not just relentless pursuit, but life to happen for us so that we can stay in that place of humility, inviting the spirit of repentance. Okay, I'm going to ask Lawrence in a minute to come up and pray over all of us here for this, as he did on Friday. But I want to tell you that I read this, gosh, so long ago. How many of you have this little booklet? It's called What Christians Should Know About the Importance of Forgiveness. If you have it, don't take it. But we bought one for every household because John and Carol are not. I just love them. John Arnott is like a great big teddy bear. He and his wife, Carol, used to pastor Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. And they he speaks particularly on forgiveness. And he just does such a beautiful job. He's just so loving and kind. But some of these verses might be in here. I read this. I believe some of them are in here. Many of them are in here. But you can take one for your household and read through it just as a blessing, because it talks about some of these things. And Carol does give an example from her own life. But what you don't want to do is say, aha, when you look at her example, without first going through some of the other places, because you could misinterpret her own example, because she gives you an example from her life. Because sometimes things that have hurt us with people, you know, early on in life, we can actually turn around and bring that same ick, the inner ick, onto someone else. And it's unfair in the spirit, but not to the enemy. And you'll be hearing more about this. I think we're going to expand Freedom House in January to include a little bit more, Freedom Class, to include more of this, because those of you who I have received some measure of training are going to get a little bit more in this area, so that we're very equipped for what's coming. As new people come in, you don't go up to someone and say, you're just judging. You don't do that. The freer you are on the inside, you'll be able to know how to wield through that, but recognizing it. Do you see this as something safe for us? Safe place where we cover one another? This is going to touch. I hope so. So Carly or someone in here wants to get the box of these. We can pass one out per family. Or if someone, there's a box. If Carly's not in here, if someone can find the box, that would be good. Is there? Can you look around behind you? There was a box in the last row. Okay, maybe it's in the office. Can someone just run back there really quickly? Okay, I just want to give everyone one of these. I've marked mine up. Can I just tell you something? My father, I love my dad, Pops. And my dad is just the coolest person. And we have a really good relationship. And I told him, you know, I said, I had one of these. And I said, Lord, if there's another one in my house, I want to give it to Dad. Not like this. I would never do that. But Dad was facing something really big this week, and I wanted him to feel as protected as he could. It was really a hard week for him. And we've had many talks about this kind of stuff. And so he receives from me. I said, Lord, if there's another one in my house, take me right to it, and we'll just run over and give it to him and see what he says. I'm serious. I went in the office. I got down like this, and I looked in the bookcase just like that. Immediately, my eye went to nothing but that. I picked it off and went, I don't believe this. This is crazy. I started laughing hysterically in the office. I went to Bill. I said, Bill, we were on our way to Bueller's to have dinner. I said, we got to go to my dad's right now. So I went to Dad's and I told him. I said, Dad, if you want to read this. He goes, yes, honey, I'll read that. And then he read the whole thing from cover to cover. It talks about the Lord. It was just really cool. And then the next night, before, you know, something that he was facing came up, we were able to talk about it, and it was so beautiful. Oh, I said, God, you're just cool. So just take one per family, please, if you would, and read through it and enjoy it, and then just take it to the cross, okay? Whatever God would tell you. That's it. I'm going to ask, yeah, you're welcome. I hope it's a blessing. Yeah. Do you know that 95 to 98% of people, I was told by Pastor Ken, who has now gone home to be with the Lord, but he used to oversee Heartland for 30 years. Can you hear that? 30 years of ministry. He was the spiritual guy at Heartland. Okay? And he told me once when I was very young, he said, Mary Pat, do you know that, and I honestly don't remember if he said 95 or 98, 95 to 98% of the people in here are here because they don't understand how forgiveness has, a lack of forgiveness has affected them. They don't understand it. And it has hurt them so, so much. It's caused them so much pain. So the laws of forgiveness and such and all that you're going to read affect the believer and the non-believer. So this might be a blessing for you. So Lawrence, if you want to come up. We're going to pray and just see what God will do. I hope this has helped a little bit. Just remember Jesus covering us, covering, covering, covering. Okay, let's get in a position here of prayer, and we're just going to receive whatever the Lord puts on Lawrence's heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy this morning. Lord, as you've highlighted things, as you've highlighted opportunities, Father God, that you pray, that you place before us just to step into that grace and that mercy, Father God, to step into that place that of protection that you've provided for us, Lord, so that we can experience true freedom, so that we can experience true breakthrough, we can experience true revival, Father, the very thing we were created for, to walk in complete freedom, to know what heaven is like here on earth, Father. And you give us opportunity after opportunity to come before a loving Father that has grace and mercy in full supply for each one of us, Lord God. That we come before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only one that's able to make us clean, the only one that's able to wash us and make us whole, Father God. And all you're looking for is a willing heart. For a heart that's fully, completely, wholly willing to come before you and say, have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Father God. Wash us clean, Father God. Begin to shed your light on areas of our heart that we haven't been able to let go of, Father God, where there's been judgment, where there's been a lack of repentance, Father God. I just pray by your grace and mercy of a loving Father, you would begin to highlight those areas, Father, not to bring condemnation, Lord God, but to bring freedom, to bring wholeness, Lord God, that we would have the revelation this morning that you highlight those things in order to remove them, Father God, that you give us an opportunity to lay those before you, to lay bare before you, Father God, vulnerable before a loving Father that loves us with an everlasting love. Father, this morning we give those things over to you. As you begin to highlight those things, Holy Spirit, in your grace and your mercy, just begin to highlight those areas as we stand here in a place of safety and comfort in the arms of a loving Father. Just begin to highlight those things, Lord God. Let the fear just begin to melt away, that we're in a safe place, Lord God, that you will highlight those areas that we're able to give over to you, Father God, so that we can experience the true freedom that you created us for. That we would be those people who don't walk in judgment. We would be those people that understand the power of repentance. That we would be a people, Lord God, that know what it looks like to be a son and a daughter of a loving God. And Father, anywhere where there has been judgments, where there has been negative assumptions made about people, Father God, we repent. We turn those things away. We turn away from those things, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the power that comes with the repentant heart. I was just reminded of Friday night, the one thing that he highlighted to me is that we would love to be able just to cast that thing down as a spirit, but the Lord, in his grace and his mercy, he gives us the opportunity to be free from those things through repentance. And that it's a partnering with the Lord. It's an opportunity this morning to partner with you, to come before you and lay those things down in repentance. So Lord, I just pray for that cleansing flood to come through this place right now, Father God, as you hear the cries of your children, as they lay before you, as they offer these things up to you, Father God, that you would begin to wash them away in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have. Holy Spirit, just continue to highlight those areas. Oh, wash, cleanse, Father, that all obstacles that the enemy has set up to cause a hindrance from us from being able to experience and express your love unhindered. That in this moment, as you highlight those areas and we lay before you and repent of them, Father God, that you are just clearing the way for us to have a greater revelation of your love. There's so much more that we have yet to experience. And Father, you give us so many opportunities to come before you, Lord, and experience that cleansing flood. Renew our minds, Father God. Refresh our hearts, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Hey, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive that. Just receive it right now as grace just pouring over you and your heart right now. Thank you, Lord. 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 Some of you have testimonies that the Lord has already done in you, and you'll be able to share them with one another that will be helpful. When the Lord frees us from some of these pains, some of these things, some of the hurts, the bitter roots, the bitter root judgments, it just releases us into a place of freedom that we've never experienced before. Who's ever experienced that? Just a release of freedom. Okay. And God wants to do that. He wants to increase it more. And there'll be opportunities for you to share those at some point. But just take this now for yourself today, because I really believe that God's going to bring us into a place of greater enjoyment in the, you know, the gospel. The cross is big. It's a big God. Be encouraged today. Be strengthened today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's good. Feel strengthened. Strengthened by the Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you if you're part of FTC and you want to be in Tom's class, Revival Fire, see him today. Okay, some people weren't able to be there, I guess. So see him today, and then Rachel's class is not tonight because they're out of town. The Larsons are out of town. Genesis class starts up next Sunday. And oh, we have baptisms Tuesday, and that's not the whole service, but so far we have two, I believe, who are going to be baptized. If there's anybody else that wants to experience water baptism, prophetic words and stuff, you know, are coming, I'm sure. Oh, there's Men Who Honor next Saturday at the Jacquet's house. Sign up out in the hallway. Okay, so Christy knows how much food to have for breakfast. So you get free breakfast. Okay, God bless you all. Be encouraged. Enjoy your book. It's fun reading. Good. I'm glad you mark it up. Have fun with it. It just, I don't know. It blesses me. I've read it so many times. I love it. I love it. God bless you all. You're amazing people, and I love you. You know, I love you so much. Be strengthened today. In Jesus' name. Amen.